CBS Sports Radio.
All right, we start our third and final hour. It's going to be a really good one. As I mentioned, I am Jim Rome. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. A lot more NFL to get to, which I still have not found my way to just yet, and I will do that later on in the hour. Really quickly, telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. We'll get back to your phone calls also later on, but first things first, we're joined right now by the head basketball coach at Gonzaga, the recipient of numerous National Coach of the Year awards, a 13-time WCC Coach of the Year, led Gonzaga to a Final Four, three Elite Eights, and nine Sweet 16s, won or shared 18 regular season titles, 15 conference tournament titles. Gonzaga is 16-1. They are number one in both polls. They're at San Diego on Thursday night. Mark Few is my guest. Mark, before we get into basketball, I got to know, how are you doing and how is life for you in 2020?
Life is great. Thanks for asking. Yeah, it's all good, man. Just like you, got the Christmas card. Your kids are, they're young men now, and it's the same kind of in our family. Everybody's growing up. We wish we could freeze them and keep them at the age they're at, but it doesn't happen that way. So we are living life, Marcy and I, and living great, and just feel unbelievably blessed with everything going on.
So good to hear it, Mark. Appreciate that. Mark Few joining us. So you're coming off a win over Pepperdine, Mark, on Saturday night where Killian Tilley had 20 points, 4 rebounds and 4 assists and a block. I know you might not have been thrilled with the overall performance of the team necessarily, but what did you make of how he impacted the game both from an energy and a production standpoint?
Well, hey, Jim, Killian's, I mean, he's an NBA player. And if he was healthy at the end of last year, or even at the end of his sophomore year, he would have been able to move up to that next level. He's just been kind of snake bit by a bunch of different injuries that have been a little bit fluky. But he's been battling some knee issues, and he's just such a courageous, tough kid because his knee isn't even close to 100%. But he's just such he impacts the game in just so many ways. He's got as good a feel for the game as any point guard I've ever had, which just makes him, really diabolical and dangerous, at the high post against zone defenses and popping up to the top of the key and kind of initiating our offense against man defense. And he's finally getting kind of some extended run. We're getting him a little bit more run in these games, and I think he's really showing what he's capable of doing.
Again, Gonzaga head basketball coach Mark Few is joining us. So, Mark, coming into this season, four of your key players from last year had NBA contracts, and you were only returning one starter. As you said at that time, quote, "I don't know if we've ever been in this situation before. Usually we have a slight majority of experienced guys over newcomers," end quote. So it is different. How'd you go about approaching that situation?
Gosh, we had to just go back to just really, talking about and trying to walk the talk with our examples as a staff and everything of, why our culture is what it is and why we do pretty much everything. I mean, we were in such teaching mode from July on. We've never had this much inexperience in our program. And another thing, Jim, was just the guys we had coming back, weren't major. They were role players, pretty essentially. And so we had to kind of teach them about being kind of the guys. So, listen, my assistants and the staff deserve a heck of a lot of credit. The guys deserve a credit. It came together a lot quicker than I envisioned. Marcy can tell you that. I was fit to be tied in September and October watching this group and thinking about going on a 4-month fishing sabbatical, but then we ended up sticking it out, and they've done great. Now we're still very much a work in progress, and we're low on numbers. Our depth has really, really been challenged this year. But it's been a fun group, man. They're teachable, coachable. We move the ball really, really well. I think up until this weekend, we had the number one offense in America, and that's just based on us kind of sharing it and taking the right shots at the right time.
Talking to Mark Few. You know, Mark, you mentioned the culture. And as always, I know you're going to point to the players in the program and how the culture gets passed down from the older players to the younger players. But if you as the head coach ever let go of the rope, and that's the message, right? Never let go of the rope. If you do so as the head coach, it sends the message to the players that they can let go of the rope. So how do you personally stay sharp and with a grip on that rope year in and year out and day in and day out?
I love doing what I'm doing, and it helps that over all these years, you know, what we've been doing has been reinforced, you know, with a lot of winning, and it's been successful. So, you know, you kind of understand that, but we're always changing. My staff has been here a long time. Tommy Lloyd's a terrific, you know, lead assistant. Brian Michelson played for me, has been coaching with me forever. And so we're always tinkering things and changing things and moving on. I mean, we've just changed so drastically over, if you go back 20 years, of our approach offensively, defensively, and we kind of tweak it every year. And then I'll tell you another thing that's really helped me is it's been such a positive force in my professional development is the USA basketball, to be able to go and just watch and learn and observe, you know, from Coach K to Pop to, you know, Steve Kerr and Jay Wright and Billy Donovan. And it's just been an unbelievable experience, you know, kind of getting that little professional hit and development in the summers. It kind of challenges you to go back and change some things. I worked with Jeff Van Gundy this summer. What a phenomenal guy he is. I mean, sharp, and just knows basketball inside and out, and just a funny, great communicator, and a heck of a coach. So that's really helped me also kind of moving along.
Mark, I was going to say, what's that like? I mean, when you get with the best and the brightest and the most motivated and the most driven and the most determined guys, absolute alphas, and you get them all in one room, what's that like when you guys get together?
Hey, it's really cool. I mean, it's the reason they're so good is I think, you know, I mean, I see they're all very humble, and not only are they knowledgeable, but they also, you know, there's a lot of sharing that goes on and a lot of asking, well, how do you guys do that? What would your approach on this ball screen or this or that? So it's great because I think the one thing that probably people don't understand when you're coaching and, you know, you have your own team, whether it's, you know, Pop or Coach K or Jay Wright or self or anybody, we never get to go out and watch anybody else practice because we're so busy with our own stuff. So, you know, when you do, like, I remember my first time doing it, I was on staff with Billy Donovan just to watch to see how he organizes his practice and his terminology and some of the things he does, even how he communicates and all that. It was great. It motivated me to get back home and you know, to be better at some of those things. So it's very much like that. There's really a lot of sharing. I know there's no egos, and it just reaffirms to me just how many really, really, really good people there are in the coaching business.
Talking to Gonzaga head coach Mark Few. They are top ranked right now. You know, Mark, you mentioned culture and you mentioned family. There's this great story from the Final Four back in 2017 when you surprised your team by having nearly 100 former players come in before the semifinal against South Carolina. There was a highlight reel from their days as players. Then the current players were hugging on these guys, shaking their hands. When you think back on that and the fact that where these guys are now, you know, jobs, fathers, families, their own responsibilities, and they took out the time to come back and support you and the team in numbers, what does that feel like and mean to you?
Jim, like, easily probably the most powerful experience, you know, looking back, that I've felt at Gonzaga. I mean, I was kind of keeping myself to the back of the room, hiding some tears, you know, just watching. I mean, we got guys back, you know, even farther than, you know, obviously Stocks was in the room And that when they lined up and, you know, well, first of all, my guys gave them a standing ovation, which I thought was just so cool. And then when they lined up and they basically kind of escorted our guys out of the film room, you know, and that was it. They, you know, the guys were going to bed before the first Final Four game in history. It was just a spectacular, really moment I'll remember for the rest of my life. And it's really what makes this place so special, man. This is, there really is a family, and it really is a really, really strong culture that we're, you know, very protective of. But it's some, you know, that, yeah, a lot of guys change jobs and bounce around and all that, and they miss out on that, you know, because, I mean, this is my kind of generation of guys that it came through here, and the connectivity that I have to them and all that is probably the greatest aspect of this whole job.
Yeah, it's so funny, Mark. Like, I remember you and I have been doing this for so long. I can remember early on when it was my job to ask you, hey, Mark, what about those other opportunities? And then I hit a phase, Mark, where I felt badly about asking you about the other opportunities, but I still felt it was like my job. And then I finally reached a point where, like, I don't need to ask anymore. I already know the answer, and he's pretty much demonstrated exactly what the answer is, which brings me to this. And your AD, Mike Roth, talks about the program going to 21 straight NCAA tournaments, and that's never been done before by a program of that size. Quote, it's one thing to catch lightning in a bottle. It's another thing to keep it going for 21 straight years. Look, again, I know you'll never make it about you, Mark, but how much pride is there in the role that you've played in this level of sustained excellence right where you are?
I mean, it means everything to me. I mean, I've you know, essentially spent my whole adult life kind of working in this program, but I'd never really just sit down and think about, you know, how that affects me. You know, the one thing, I'm kind of a forward, it's always next play, next game, next recruiting class, next, and how can we get better? How can we grow? You know, what, even around here, facilities, everything. And I hope one day I'll be able to kind of sit back and you know, look back on it all. But I mean, I don't know if it's a gift or a curse, but I'm always kind of just looking forward. And I think most coaches are like that. But I would say, you know, you mentioned Mike. I mean, again, when you look at all the changes and everything and people jumping and people going here and there and in all athletic departments, I've been fortunate enough to work for the same guy, you know, my entire tenure here. And I think that's a huge part of, you know, why we've been able to remain so relevant and successful.
He is the head basketball coach at Gonzaga. They are 16-1. They're number one in both polls. Next up, they've got San Diego on Thursday. Mark, it goes without saying, so I'll say it anyway. I appreciate the friendship and the relationship. Happy New Year. Great to have you back. And I know we'll do it again before the end of the season.
Yeah, you got it. I always enjoy coming on with you.
You got it, Mark. Care. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Mark Few. It's amazing, the monster that he has built there. And like the first guy to show, you don't need to go someplace else. Bigger's not necessarily better. You don't need to go chasing. Used to be always get to the next thing, get to the next thing, get to a bigger conference, make more money, get a bigger paycheck, give yourself a better chance to win it all. I think Mark Few was like the first guy to figure out, you know, maybe you don't have to. In fact, I know you don't have to. You can accomplish everything that you want right where you are. When we come back, so we're open the rest of the way. Done all three interviews. Great interviews. On this Monday, we had Ross Tucker, Gene Steratore, Mark Few, three great hits. Still ahead, my thoughts on the Bills. Mafia, you've had some time to kind of settle in. Are you ready to talk about this yet? More thoughts on Deshaun Watson and the Texans. Really unfortunate story going on in the desert in Arizona, which I'm trying not to get to. But I'm aware of it. I know it's out there. 1-800-636-8686. Your phone calls when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
My thanks to Mark Few. Wherever work gets done, Grainger is there with the industrial supplies, safety products, and time-saving services you need to keep your business running smoothly. See for yourself when you visit Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. When the Rams went to the Super Bowl last year and then missed the playoffs this year, you knew it was going to cost somebody. LA Times reporting that Wade Phillips is out as D coordinator. Gary Klein from the LA Times tweets, Rams defense coordinator Wade Phillips has been informed he will not be retained. A person with knowledge of the situation said. I don't know, maybe get a guy who's a little more seasoned. Just kidding. What's Wade, like 90? Good coach, man. Great defensive mind. Great defensive mind. However, you knew that was going to cost somebody. And it cost him. I love that hire when they brought him in. Even Wade and I famously beefed back in the day. Way back in the day when he was the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. But I've got a profound respect for him. The way the players respond to him. His defensive prowess. Despite that fact, like, it's never personal. It just happened. But they're moving on from him. And we'll see where they go. Know this. It was going to cost somebody no matter what. All right, so as we take a break from talking about, I don't know, the Cowboys for a moment, because there were a few playoff games awkwardly scheduled around the Dallas coaching search. There was that. You had the Seahawks playing an Eagles team that was decimated by injury, losing players by the minute, including Carson Wentz, who had a concussion, and they had to go with Josh McCown. Man, I got to say, McCown making his debut, postseason debut at age 40. This guy played his ass off. I mean, he said it himself, and it's true. He left it all on the field. Nothing but respect for him, the way he competed, the way he played, how badly he wanted it. But the Seahawks just had a little too much. They had too much. There was no way that a 40-year-old backup quarterback was going to come in and outplay or outduel Russ Wilson. Not that it was on McCown. But he just did not have enough around him. Especially when DK Metcalf caught the dagger that ended it.
Great cover zero.
Here come the Eagles. And Wilson's going to go deep downfield. And you've got an open man in Metcalf to the 50-yard line. And that, in all likelihood, will write a finish to this one.
I'm laughing because I loved him at the end of that play. He got up and flashed the peace sign to everybody. Gave it to the entire stadium. Peace out. Nice knowing you. Ball game. See y'all in Green Bay. And why the hell did I drop to the second round? In the first game of the weekend, Bills Mafia. Man, I wish I had better news, but I don't. The way that first half went, it looked like your team was going to roll right into Houston, punch the Texans in the face, leave with a playoff win, and we were going to have a party all day long today. But something happened to the Texans in the second half. Their offense woke up. The defense started giving Josh Allen a lot of trouble. And then Josh Allen started to do some really wild things, both good and bad. As I mentioned earlier, the entire world was treated to the entire Josh Allen experience. And Houston wins. Then there was the other game on Saturday. You know, for all that talk that Saturday night might have been the end of a dynasty. Then it might have been Tom Brady's last game in Foxborough. I mean, it's amazing that it's taken this long, other than my conversation with Ross Tucker early on. This long for me to actually get to this and talk about it in any kind of detail during the program. The possible end of the greatest dynasty in NFL history, and it's getting overshadowed by Mike McCarthy. Now, in part because I'll believe it's the end when it actually is the end. I'll believe it's the end when Tom Brady announces his retirement or that he's coming to play for the Chargers or the Panthers or anybody else that might end up with him. I'll believe all of that when I see all of that. Now, if that really is the end, it is pretty fitting that they went down the way they did. Losing at home to Mike Vrabel and the Titans. And that they were out-patrioted by a former Patriot. Because as great as Derrick Henry was in that game, and Derrick Henry was great, 204 yards from scrimmage against the top-ranked defense in the NFL and left a collection of bodies and body parts in his wake. But as great as that guy was, as great as the Titans' goal line stand was, the best part of that game was Mike Vrabel out-hooding the hood man with that clock-eating clinic of delay of game, false start, delay of game. That took 96 seconds off the clock and sent Belichick into a rage on the sidelines.
Delay of game. Offense. 5-yard penalty. Fourth down.
He's only had two touchbacks the whole year.
I think a delay of game multiple times.
Offense, number 59. 5-yard penalty, fourth down. Which was under fraction.
Yeah.
Defense, number 29. 5-yard penalty, fourth down.
This is a chess game between these two. Gene, when you take multiple delay of games, there's a penalty eventually.
That's correct, Tony, and the penalty will turn into an unsportsmanlike conduct foul.
Belichick doesn't like it because if it was two delay of games, they can't do it again. But since he ran a false start on the second one, it's very Belichick-esque.
Right, exactly, which made it so awesome. The Hood Man is out here dropping F-bombs like crazy, which is incredible. This wasn't him kind of mumbling and muttering. My man was enunciating F-bombs. And wasn't it back in October that Belichick did the same thing? That Belichick, not uttering F-bombs, but seemed to be smirking on the sideline while he was doing the exact same thing to the Jets. And as he said after the game, it's a loophole. Yeah, that right there is just a loophole. It's a loophole that probably is open and should be closed. More. He sure as hell didn't seem to like it when the tables were turned on him and somebody else was taking advantage of said loophole. But let's not get that twisted. Vrabel did not just take a book, or I should say a page, out of Belichick's book. He took Belichick's entire book, ripped it out of his hand, and then smashed him over the head with it. Because that sequence not only ate up the clock, it ended with a punt. The Titans led 14-13 in the fourth quarter on the road in Foxborough, and they decided to give the ball back to the Patriots' offense. Right? They had fourth and five from the Patriots' 36. Instead of keeping the ball and trying to get that first down and stretching the lead and keeping the ball away from the GOAT, they went into penalty mode. Then they punted. They said, we don't think that Tom Brady and that offense playing at home can score another point on our defense. We don't think that crew of receivers that you keep running out there, that keep putting the ball on the ground at the wrong time, can beat our guys. And they were right. I mean, it would have seemed like back in the day, like the most sacrilegious thing ever. Well, you're going to give the ball back to Tom Brady. Yes, we are. Because then they forced an immediate three and out, and they got the ball back. And then they ate up nearly three more minutes. And then they punted again, which set up this unbelievable moment.
And Tom Brady, back in his own end zone, perhaps for one of the final times, takes the snap.
Oh!
As he throws underneath. Pass is broken up. Intercepted. Touchdown! Logan Ryan off the deflection.
Sorry for the spoiler alert. The preemptive uh-oh. Like, I still can't believe that happened.
Uh-oh.
Imagine if that was Westwood One. Imagine if that really was Tom Brady's final pass as a Patriot. Or better yet, final pass period. Either way, what a hideous way to go out. Throwing a pick six at home to ice the game for the opposing team after being insulted the way Vrabel and the Titans did to them with those punts in the fourth quarter. Like, literally, here's the ball. You can have it back. Don't give a damn. We know you're not going to do anything with it. And they didn't. Man, imagine that. But I'm here to hype the Titans and not crush the Patriots or talk about their soap operas. There'll be plenty of time for that. There'll be plenty of time for drama about whether Brady likes Belichick, whether Belichick likes Brady, whether Belichick really would do Brady the way he's done everybody else who came before him, whether or not Bob Kraft has the final say. How does Bob Kraft fit into this? Is it Kraft's call? Is it Belichick's call? Plenty of time for all that. I will say, for a team that is really disciplined, they also seem to embrace this kind of drama. So we'll get more of that than we want or than we need, and we'll get into all that a little further down the road. Right now, put some respect on the Tennessee Titans. That was not a fluke win. They were the better team. They knew it, and they played like it. They went into the place where it's so hard to win, and they took it to the Patriots and beat them in every possible way. They outplayed them. They outcoached them. They outclassed them. They outtoughed them. They outsmarted them. They outhooded them. And now they're moving on. And the Patriots are staying home. And the question is whether or not Tom Brady is going to stay or leave. Because this much you know, there's no way he's going out like that. He's not retiring on that. No way he ends that career on that pick six. No chance. Patriots season is over. And Chouts, that allegedly so-called historic Pats D that you said was so historic is not historic at all. I'm good. They're good, sure, but they're not historic. And as we've known all season long, old Tommy, he needed another weapon on the outside. Badly. I'm not even going to hammer you about that big lug Gronk or AB or Josh Gordon. But how about this? Hey, Hood, how about DK Metcalf? I don't know. Dude's got the look of a star that you sure as hell could have used Saturday and for the next decade. You could have had him. Hell, you'd be on to Kansas City. You'd be on to Kansas City. If you took him over Harry.
Cincinnati.
Mumble. Accountability. Responsibility. Look in the mirror. DK Metcalf. I know everybody could have had him, but you could have. You should have. You could have. Enjoying the offseason. And you now have a lot more time to prepare for the draft, so that's good, right? You're not already 6 weeks behind. So that way you probably don't miss on a guy like that. Man, and I understand that it happens to the best of them, and the guy's been amazing. But to see Julian Edelman put the ball on the ground on that key third down, you know, make that play, and we might be talking about them going on to Kansas City. Hey, what's up, Adam? Watch your head, dude. Don't be a bird. Yeah, Mark Moda tweets, Brady throwing a pick six in a big moment is perfect. He'd be a great replacement for Rivers. Plus, he'll look dreamy in powder blue. Good one. Good one, Mark. I like that. Good one, Mark Moda. Yeah, I got to give you this. He would look dreamy in powder blue. Man, how about that? Imagine, hey, are you sure you want to do that, Tommy? You sure you want to go to Los Angeles? I mean, that's L.A. You want to go into a new stadium? You want to lead them in there? You know what's going to happen if you go in there, Tommy. Hey, Tommy boy, if you go there, they're going to count on you to sell seats. You really want that? Yeah, I can see that. I can see the Chargers, who are in a fierce firefight with the Rams. And by the way, with the Lakers, the Clippers, the Dodgers, and everybody else to get people to pay attention to them here in Los Angeles. And it's not going great either, by the way. I absolutely could see them trying to take a run at him. But the thing about Brady is this. I want to say I have no idea what's going on in his head, but he seemed to make it pretty clear that, A, he wants to play. I mean, I'm 100% certain of that. He still wants to play, but he also seemed to be making it pretty clear he wants to stay with the Patriots. However, I don't see him giving them another hometown discount. He's got to see some respect from Belichick. And I'm not sure he's seeing it. Dear Jim, Mark Few, I'm Mark Lots. Yours, Penis Man.
Penis Man.
Brett from Bugaha. Hey, Hawk, what are you hiding from? The imbecility that you just brought me? Hawk, you're no better than them when you bring me that crap. And you're especially no better than them when you laugh at that crap. And you're especially no better than them when you hide behind that email that you're hiding behind. Man, don't be a dope. Yeah, what are you going to do about that now, clones? You're probably looking at the clock. You probably know I've got some other important things to get to, and I did not get to Penis Man, did I? Did I? I still have an ATP ahead. I've gone way over on this segment. Do you think that's a coincidence? When we return, two things that are probably not going to happen. One, I'm probably not going to go to Parody Larry on hold. Two, probably not going to talk about Penis Man either.
Penis Man.
Although I am conflicted. Alvin, why is that getting louder? Stay tuned. Right now it's time for a sports update. Here it is. Such good start to the week. Welcome back. Good content. A couple of good phone calls. Three excellent interviews. Once again, we had Ross Tucker. Can't say enough about Ross. He's doing an amazing job. Gene Steratore, who I knew would crush it, and he did. Mark Few, always available to the program. He's got the top-ranked team in the nation right now. Gonzaga, number one in both polls. So a really good day, and we're not done yet. This email reads, Dear Jim, I think what Penis Guy is doing in the Phoenix area is pretty cool and creative. I'm all in for it. Signed, Matt Nagy.
Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Alvin, for the last time, I want to have this guy's back. I want you to slow that down. If you do, it's very clear that he says peanuts and Cracker Jack. I want to have this guy's back, not for his handling of his quarterback or his offense, but in this one moment, this one instance where you all rush in to kill him. This is not what he said. Slow it down, and I will have his back.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Clear as day. Peanuts and Cracker Jack. This is a guy saying, yeah, I think what that guy's doing in the Phoenix area is pretty cool and creative. James in Northeast Tucson. Anyway, let's go to the ATP. The Ask the Pros brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Hi, Jim. If you could go to any concert, past or present, what would it be? Bella B in Calgary, Queen of the ATP. She signed a Queen of the ATP, but in fact, she is the Queen of the ATP. She's ripped this contest. She's getting in all the time now. I'm not really sure why she brought that up, other than maybe we had a podcast with Bob Mayer talking about the replacements. And incredibly enough, the replacements were trending on Twitter yesterday. Because during the Viking game, Fox bumped into a break with a replacement song. So, like, you might have asked yourself, it was Bastards of the Young, I believe. You might have said, hey, Rome, what the hell? You're starting the year off by having a podcast with a guy who wrote the definitive work on the Replacements, some obscure band. Yeah, they're so obscure that they were trending during an NFL game based on the network bumping one of their songs. I.e., they're not so obscure. Anyway, back to Bella B's question. If you could go to any concert, past or present, what would it be? Let me think. All right, so I've seen like my favorite bands. I didn't miss on any of my really favorite bands. Saw the Replacements, saw R.E.M., the big Bruce Springsteen guy, saw the Boss numerous times. All right, so back at like, obviously, I'm one of those classic alternative guys. Didn't see The Jam. The Jam is on my short list. I love The Jam. Never saw The Clash. Also on my short list. You know what, though? Like, my favorite band that I never saw has got Wisconsin roots. And I tried to make it right. Not only did I try to see them, not to be a real bag about this, but when I had my 50th birthday, I didn't want a big deal. And Janet was like, oh, no, we're doing a big thing for your 50th. I said, yeah, I don't want that. I don't need that. I don't want that. She's like, well, I'm doing it anyway. Whether you want it or not, whether you attend or not, we are having a blowout 50th. And we're going all in. And I said, listen, I really do not want to do this. She said, it's already done. So, and she said, and what do you want? What do you want? I said, if we're going to do this, let's have a band. Let's not have any band. Let's take a big swing. Let's get a band, one of our bands. And so we started to price bands, like the classic alternative bands. I tried to get the Violent Femmes into my backyard. I tried to get them to play at my birthday. And they were actually open to it and reasonably priced. You wouldn't even believe what some of these bands ask because they can, right? Like if you get some of these super, super hedge fund guys or rich guys, they'd get crazy bands for weddings or bar mitzvahs or birthdays. I mean, obviously they do. You see this online, right? You see crazy, crazy bands show up for one set and they get like $1 million. Obviously, I was not doing that. Couldn't get the Femmes, but I did get the English Beat. They were in my backyard. And apparently not everybody was happy about that. I come to find out like midweek, the next week. They played a great set. But man, the Femmes, the Violent Femmes are the one band, I think, Bella, that I've never seen that I wanted to see. And especially now with my ties to the state. That's a Wisconsin band, Milwaukee band. When I was in college radio, man, they were so awesome. So awesome. They're still awesome. So there's your answer to that. 1-800-636-8686. You better get up in here because she's going to rip that. Man, Hawk is so disappointed. What do you know, Hawk? We're running out of time. I don't think they're going to get to Penis Man. Here's the issue I have with Penis Man. I am conflicted. I know there are listeners in the area that badly want me to discuss this because they're going through a tough time. And they know that I can help. And I want to help. Because that region of the country has meant so much to me. However, I need to be responsible. So whereas I'm thinking about you, I'm thinking about the people and the company I work for. I'm thinking about, do I really want that phone call from one of the suits in New York saying, Jim, we know you're a Hall of Famer. We know you've been at this a long time. But do you really think it was in the best interest of anybody outside of a few of your kooky clones in Arizona for you to do an entire take on Penis Man?
Penis Man.
You know, this is tough. I mean, I understand that there are news reports from the area.
Take a stroll through Tempe, and you'll see scooters, trains, joggers, skylines, and graffiti. One tag showing up all over is Penis Man. The moniker, deemed explicit and provocative, painted on abandoned buildings, city dumpsters, old couches.
We've seen it on signs. There's some people, of course, that think it's funny.
I don't. Do I look like I'm laughing? Look at me. Are you watching on CBS Sports Network? Do I look like I'm laughing? Do I look amused? That's how I made the decision. Upon hearing part of that news report, this is not in the best interest of me discussing. Not on this platform. Not nationally. I mean, I suppose if I did a local show in the area, we might talk about that. Could probably jam the phone lines up. The thing is, I'm out of time. The thing is, I'm not helping them. The thing is, that's exactly what Penis Man wants.
Penis Man.
And I'm not giving him what he wants. Nor am I giving you clones what you want. Because I'm done. And I'm glad I'm done. And Penis Man is not jumping the day. Not on my watch. Not as I'm hosting this show. My thanks to Gonzaga head coach Mark Few, CBS Sports Rules analyst and former NFL and NCAA basketball referee Gene Steratore, who murdered his Jungle debut. Ross Tucker always shows up the way he did. My thanks to the XR4TI. Y'all have a great day. And I will be right back here tomorrow doing more of the same. See you then.
Penis Man.